Everybody's listening right now, please raise your hands if in last week you told your child to do something and they didn't. Now, don't be shy and raise those hands, unless you're driving, of course, or maybe it would be socially awkward to raise your hand at this exact moment. So raise them in your heart, so to speak. So again, raise your hand if in last week you told your child to do something and they didn't. Did you raise your hand? I did. But do not despair, my friend. I think that my kids are not listening to what I tell them to do is one of the most common complaints I get from parents, if not the most common one. So, in today's episode, I'm giving you one of the most important distinctions you will ever learn as a parent. So, stick around. I'll see you after the intro. You're listening to the Apparently Parent podcast, where we combine the art of parenting with the science of psychology. I'm Eran Katz, and for over 10 years as a clinical psychologist, I've been helping people from age 6 to 86 live a happier, more flexible life. In the process, I have learned about the things parents do to make or break a childhood, and what turns children into happy, confident human beings. This podcast is for you, the 21st century parent who believes that better parenting can make a better world. So if that's you and you're ready to elevate your parenting journey, let's go! I'm your host, Eran Katz. Alright, welcome back to the Apparently Parent podcast, the podcast for the 21st century parents. And this is episode number 58, and I'm very excited for this one because we are going to go over one of the most important things that I had to learn in my own parenting journey and with working with my clients on their parenting issues, and I bet it's going to be the same for you. Because being a parent literally means having to gain a measure of control over another human being. When they're little babies, we have almost total control over them. Although, I know it feels the other way around, but think about it. You get to choose what they wear, you get to choose where they are physically located in the house, you get to choose where they go, you get to choose what they can play with, etc. But as they grow up, they develop more and more agency and more personality, and they start to do what they want, even if it's not aligned with what you want. Now, is it annoying? Maybe. It's many struggles. Power struggles, boundaries that are being tested or even blown apart, and much more. Now, if you want, you can always opt for the kind of parenting that demands high compliance from a child. That kind of parenting is also known as authoritarian parenting, and it's defined by many demands and strict rules, and also lower rates of being open and close with your child. But for me, that's not the kind of parent that I want to be, and let me guess that if you're listening to this podcast, you're the same. But maybe you are a conflicted parent trying to create a strong emotional bond with your child while also trying to get through the day. And getting through the day sometimes means that you need to tell your children to do stuff because they are kids and you're the adult and you usually hold the better perception of reality. You know when it's okay to go outside without a coat better than them, right? Or you know when it's okay to eat this or that during lunch or having this or that for dessert, right? So how do you get your children to actually listen to what you want them to do? Now, while I can't promise a 100% compliance rate and 100% of them listening to you, and again, I don't think this is an ideal we should aim for, I do want to share with you an important distinction that will help you navigate these waters. So let's talk about requests, orders, and instructions, or in short, ROI. So usually, when we tell our children what to do, we actually kind of order them around. Do this or don't do that. You know, like nice drill sergeants that we are. Put on your shoes now. You gotta go. Stop playing with my laptop. Those are orders. And orders come from the authoritarian kind of parenting where a child is expected to follow the parent's order to a T without you know, without refusing, but also without questioning that order. And I think we already have established that we don't want to feel like real sergeants. We don't want to be authoritarian parents. That's not what being a 21st century parent is all about. Let's leave the authoritarian parenting in the 20th century. But if you want to feel like a positive, nurturing parent, does it mean you can't use or should not use orders? Of course not. Sometimes orders are paramount and important, like don't run into traffic or hold my hand when we're crossing the street. That's a very important one. And yeah, sometimes put your coat on because it's raining outside should be more of an order and less of a request, because you will not take your child into a blizzard or a rainy day, really rainy day, without a coat, right? But the problem with orders is that sometimes we use them not in the right place. We use them too much, and then there's a kind of a negative circle that goes like this. You want your child to do something, so you tell him or her to do that. You order them to do that. They do not respond as you expect them to respond. Okay, so they refuse you in some kind of way, and you either give up or you explode in anger. Now, this is not what we want. This is what leads to frustration and fights during the day, and you getting to bed exhausted and feeling shitty about your parenting. So we need to learn to use instructions as much as possible instead of orders. So what are instructions? Instructions are basically just orders that are more flexible. When you give an instructions, you place a very clear expectation, but you also give room for negotiation. How big of a room? That depends on you, on the situation, on the context. Okay, remember my previous episode, episode 57, I talked about how context is everything. Now, you have to understand that children will not follow all your instructions. And I repeat that, children will not follow all your instructions, and that's okay. That's part of the deal. So rule of thumb number one is never give an instructions you're not willing to accept a refusal upon. All right? So again, go back to the traffic example or electric sockets, for example. Those are non-negotiables, right? You will not allow your child to touch a burning stove, right? Or going to traffic. That's a non-negotiable, and that can be a very important order. Don't touch that. Now, we sometimes use the don't or do a kind of order too much, where we could instead use an instruction. Now, I want you to know something. As I've said, your children will not follow all your instructions, and that's okay. And listen to this surprising statistic. When researchers documented and followed family communications for long stretches of time, they found that in families where there were no specific behavioral problems or no specific behavioral struggles, between 20 to 50% of the children's responses were categorized as non-compliant to instructions. So the parents gave instructions, the children were non-compliant, and that was between 20 to 50% of the time in normal, non-issues, having, no specific behavioral or struggle in the family. That was the norm. Okay, how refreshing and how comforting is that, right? But why does it happen? All right, so one of the most important goals of a developing child is to grow their own autonomy and agency. You want your children to grow up autonomous, being able to make their own decisions, being able to conduct themselves in the world with confidence, knowing what to do, where to go, how to deal with stuff, right? I think that's part of the goal of a 21st century parent. And you have to realize that you can become an autonomous human being without sometimes sticking it up to the man, right? Resistance isn't futile. Resistance is crucial. It's part of a normal developing child. When your child is resisting you, and I know you probably do not want to hear that, but maybe you do. When your child is resisting you, it doesn't mean anything other than that your child is resisting you. And problems start when parents, just like you and me, and I do that still, we put a meaning on stuff like that. We put a meaning on it. We label it as, my child doesn't respect me, or my child doesn't love me, or my child doesn't respect authority and he or she will grow up to be a delinquent. And this is a clear example of what we call shark music. And if you don't know what I mean, check out my previous episode, episode 57. Okay, so go back to apparentlyparent.com/57 or go back on your podcast application and check that out, because it will really help you understand how important context is, and part of that is your internal music. All right, so we have to realize that when children are refusing our instructions, that doesn't mean that they are bad or they are gone bad or they have behavioral problems and they will have behavioral problems, or they will, you know, have problems with authority as they grow up and they will run red lights all the time and whatever. All it means is that they refused at that moment, and it can be opened up for a discussion or a kind of an inward looking into it. Why did they refuse? Now, as I mentioned orders before, think of orders as basically instructions that are given in kind of a disrespectful manner. They don't respect the child's autonomy, because with orders, you don't expect your child to do anything but what you told them to do or not to do. There's no wiggle room for negotiation. And when there's no wiggle room for negotiation, you are really not respecting your child's autonomy. And yeah, sometimes that is what needs to be done, because you cannot respect your child's, well, you can respect your child's want and wish to run into traffic because they don't understand what that means. It doesn't mean that if you respect their wishes, you need to comply with them. Okay, so that's an important distinction to make. Okay, so when you order your child, or when you tell them clearly, do not run into traffic, or do not cross the street without holding my hand, that's a non-negotiable. So that's why it's an order instead of an instructions. But when you give your child an instruction, you really open things up for an opportunity for them to say, no, I don't want to do that. Okay? And a 21st century parent accepts that being a good parent means teaching your child to resist you. That's part of the deal. Parents who shy away from conflicts with their children by either assuming the authoritarian style or the permissive style, which means letting your children do whatever they wish, they do a major disservice to their children. So it's a major part of our parenting journey to give instructions, seeing our children refuse them, and working with that, helping your children come to terms with that, the fact that sometimes they have to listen to you, or they should listen to you, and sometimes they can choose differently, and that's okay. This is how we teach them to choose and to be responsible for the choices, etc. Now, you may ask yourself, okay, Eran, so that's an order, that's an instruction, but how do I give instruction in a way that my children will listen to me? That's the premise of this episode, right? This is why I clicked on this episode for. So yeah, we're going to get to that, don't worry. But before we go on to talk about how to give instructions in an efficient way, let's talk about requests, because remember, we had three ways to ask your child to do something. We had orders, which is something that you should say for very specific things like life hazards and emergencies. Okay, remember my episode from a couple of weeks ago about running to a bomb shelter? That's an emergency where sometimes orders are needed in that situation. And of course, we have instructions, but we also have requests. Now, what is a request in this context? A request assumes that the child has a real freedom of choice in the matter. Hence, you gotta accept the possibility of refusal and relinquish any need to convince the child to choose otherwise. This is basically what choosing your battles mean. Okay, so let's take an example and a really easy one. Let's say that it's autumn. It's getting cold. It's not harsh winter yet. Okay, it's raining and it's cold and the weather is changing. Now, would you let your child choose if she wants a coat when you're going outside or not. Now, if it's really raining or if it's really cold, you want to let her choose. Okay, so you might order her, put on your coat now, or you might ask her in an instruction kind of way, which we will discuss later, how you do that. Okay, but you instruct her to put her coat on. All right? However, some days, maybe you can accept that she might choose otherwise and she might go outside without a coat. Now, you may want her to put a coat on, but you can also accept and be okay with her not having a coat on. Okay? In that case, you can give her a request. I ask you to put your coat on, but it's a given that if you choose not to, I will not fight you on that. I will not try to convince you, but you will, quote unquote, pay the price. So if you choose not to take your coat outside and it's going to be cold, you're going to suffer from being cold, it's on you. We're not going back. You know, you don't complain. That was your choice. All right. So you as a parent need to realize that sometimes it's better for you to give your children requests and let them choose and let them take responsibility for what they choose and bear the consequences, even if they're negative or at least negative in your mind. And that's that, all right? But you have to only give them instructions if you can really accept what they choose. Okay, so if you can really accept your daughter walking out of home without a coat, give her a request instead of an instruction or an order. But never, ever request something that you're not willing to accept a refusal on. So if you're not really okay with her going outside without a coat, don't put it as a request. Now, I do want to say that you can be flexible in the transition between requesting and instructing. You can and you probably should have the same action sometimes as a request and sometimes as an instruction. It all depends on the context. Again, as we said in this example, okay, sometimes if you're out in a skiing trip, there's no wiggle room here. A coat is a must. So it can be a request. But if, you know, it's just a little bit chilly outside, maybe a coat can be a request. And the same goes for other things. You just need to realize what's right for you. And you need to remember that it's really individual. There are things in your lives that you can accept as requests that other parents want. For example, I don't really care if my child goes outside without a coat when it's not really cold outside. I'm not afraid of cold. I don't think that going outside when it's cold will make them sick. And that's fine for me, but other parents might not agree with me. So as long as nobody gets hurt, really, and you just do you. You do you, and you work according to your own values and your own purpose as a parent. All right? So if you see other parents acting in different ways, stop for a second before judging them or judging you and see how different people can think different things. And that's sometimes that's okay. Now, just before we go into talking about how to use instructions, let's just say, why should we have requests in the first place? Okay, why should we allow our children to choose even if we don't really want them to choose this or that? Okay, a wonderful example, by the way, here is clothing. Okay, do you let your child choose what they wear to school or not? Okay, so some parents cannot stand their children choosing because of colors mismatching. I'm not even talking about weather patterns. Okay, so you know, you can tell your child that they have to choose between different coats, but they have to have a coat. Okay, so you gotta have a coat. It's an instruction, but choosing what kind of coat or with what color of a coat is it? It is, that can be a request or a choice point. But for some parents, you know, children choosing mismatching colors is a non-negotiable, or they just can't stand that. Okay, so again, choose your battles. But why should we offer them choices in the first place and have requests in our mind in the first place? It's really important to have requests and having children choose stuff, because When we give requests to a child, we give them the freedom of choice. We give them the freedom to make their own decision. And that's a huge thing for a child. Remember, they grow up with little choice, and then as soon as they, I think we can safely say, are around 2 years old, they start to develop their own agency and needs of control, and that's why they can be so difficult sometimes to handle in those periods of life. Right, so when we give them choices, we show them that we respect them, we show them that we trust them, and this is how we build confidence, and this is also how we build the ability to weather consequences. Because if we choose for them all the time, we bear the consequences of quote unquote wrong choices. But if they start to have some choices and learn what they mean, if sometimes they make the wrong choice for themselves. Okay, so they will learn how to think more about their choices as they grow up. Okay, so that this is how we build their sense of agency and responsibility, help them in decision making, and it's not a one-time thing. We do that all the time, over and over again, constantly, and we give them more difficult choices as they grow up, etc., etc. So this is why we have to be flexible in our ways, choosing between orders and instructions and requests, etc. And there's no really right or wrong way of choosing how many requests we should use or how many orders we should use. You know, from the top of my mind, I would suggest, like, I think we should have approximately between 70 to 80% of our of instructions when we want our children to do something, when we ask them to do something, and the maybe 10 to 15% of requests, and the rest should be orders, for example. But you know, that's not really a rule of thumb that you can really apply all the time. It depends on how many children you have, on the situation, on how old they are, etc., etc. Okay, so now that we have established the difference between requests and order and instructions, and if you agree with me that instructions are good to use and a good thing to use, let's talk about some guidelines of how to use good instructions. And those are guidelines that I have summed up from a research paper that was written about this concept. And I will put the paper, if you want to read it, I will put its name in the show notes of this episode. So you can visit apparentlyparent.com/58 to check that out. And let's just move through them one by one. So first of all, do not give too much instructions. Okay, and again, I know I just said 70 to 80% of instructions, but what I mean is that you should only use instructions when you know you can actually enforce them. Okay, so if you want your child to do something and you want to give an instruction, do that only when you know you can actually take the time to talk with your child about the consequences of not choosing this or that. Or if you can actually do something about them refusing you. So, for example, if the instruction is about screen time, okay, turn off the TV, okay, and or else, okay? So I want you to turn off the TV like in 10 minutes. And then they will tell you, no, I don't want to do that because I'm watching, I don't know, I'm watching a series that I like. What can you as a parent do about it? Okay, so I'm not telling you what to do about it. I'm just telling you that you should use the instructions when you know you can do something about that. Okay, so maybe you can close the TV. Maybe you can offer them something instead of the TV, etc. Okay, now why is that important? Because when the child can comply with the instruction, they have a positive experience of success, which means it will be easier for them to comply later on with different instructions. If the child cannot comply with the instruction if the child refuses, but you cannot help them with that, you might be setting them up for a failure. Okay, so if you want them to wear something when you go outside, okay, give them an instruction and options that they can, you know, experience a success with. Okay, and not, you know, don't give them an order masked as an instruction. And that brings me to the next kind of guideline, which is respect the child. All right. So again, 21st century parents respect their children all the time as different human beings, and they care about their emotions and they do whatever they can to talk with them with respect. Yeah, sometimes we get angry and we disrespect them and then we take responsibility for that. But again, remember, those are human beings. Those are not machines, and they are definitely not soldiers in your ranks. So please give me the cubes is a respectful way of asking your child to give you the cubes that he scattered all over the floor, for example. The disrespectful way to do that would be, give me the cubes already. Okay, so sometimes asking for something can be the same, but it's an order or an instruction just by the way you do that, by your tone of voice, by your non-verbal language, how you stand, how you conduct yourself physically. All right. Now, when using instructions, try to use as direct instruction as possible and refrain from masking an instruction as a question. So I'll give you some example. If you want them to put their toys in the box, okay, how many times, and be honest, how many times you phrase it as a question, all right? So, do you want to put your trains in the box? That's clearly an instruction masked as a question. Or, do you want to brush your teeth now? That's even worse, because you do, as a parent, unless you're okay with them not choosing not to brush their teeth, don't give them such a question. Do you want to put a sweater on? Yeah, so your child may tell you, no, I don't. You ask me and I tell you no. Why do you get mad at me? Okay, so do not mask your instructions as questions. Be clear, okay? Please put your trains in the box now. Please go and brush your teeth. By the way, notice that I use please. And do this as an exercise for yourself. How many times during the day do you use the word please when you ask your children to do something? All right? So please put the train in the box. Please go and brush your teeth. Those are direct, clear instructions. Now, the next thing that you should think about is using instructions in a clear way to tell them what to do, as opposed to telling them what not to do. Okay, so don't leave toys all over the house is rather vague. Remember, you're dealing with children and their perspective and cognition is different than yours. Okay, so don't leave toys all over the house may be clear for you because you know where toys are supposed to go and what being, you know, orderly means, but maybe they don't. So be clearer. Okay, also, get ready. Go and get ready. That can be too vague for a child. Okay, but, you know, go and brush your teeth and then get dressed. It's clearer. Now, don't eat with your hands. It's clear, but it's also phrased as a negative kind of order, right? Okay, so tell them what to do instead. So, please eat with a knife and fork. That's a major struggle for me and my son, okay, for example. So, please eat with a knife and fork. That's a good, clear instruction. Put the toys back in the box instead of don't leave your toys all over the house. Okay? So use clear instructions. Also use short and focused instructions. This will make it easier for your child succeeding. Okay? Again, they're children. Their cognition is different than yours. Okay? So listen to this, for example. Go and put your shoes in the closet and then brush your teeth and then go to the bath. There are too many stages here. Okay, remember, they're children. Don't confuse them. Okay, so do something else. For example, please go and put your shoes in the closet. That's that. And when they do that, okay, now go and brush your teeth. And when they do that, now take your clothes off, put them in the laundry basket, please. Go in and then go into the bathtub, please. Okay? Clear, focused, short instructions. I know it may sound stupid, and you know, I'm talking about younger children because as they grow up, they can be more complex. But again, make it easy for them to comply and make it easy for them to succeed. Now, sometimes when your children do not seem to comply, you tend to use punishments, right? But instead, try to focus on conditions instead of threats and punishments. So let's think about how you can use a punishment. So a punishment might look like, if you don't clean your room, we won't go out and play. Okay? Instead, use a positive condition. After you clean your room, we can go outside and play a little bit. Okay, same message, different way of phrasing can make a lot of difference. Those are very subtle differences. And the way we say things sometimes for the outside observer may look kind of the same. If you don't clean your room, we won't go to play. After you clean your room, we can go to play. It can seem, you know, when you just read the words, it can seem the same. But the way we carry our words, the way we carry ourselves, the way we phrase has a lot of volume in it, okay? And it can bear a striking difference for a child. Also, you can use instructions to encourage your child to cooperate by giving them choices, again, when possible, okay? So, for example, instead of please close the TV, which isn't a clear instruction, you can go for please come and choose a bedtime story with me. Okay, or I want you to take a shower. Would you like to come now or would you like to come in 10 minutes? Okay, so in giving them choices helps them feel more responsible for their own fates, and that can help them comply. And also try to use reminders and alerts as much as possible, because children usually don't have the sense of times that adults do. And let's face it, many adults don't have a good sense of time either. Okay, so you can say something like, wow, you're playing really, really nice. And in 5 minutes, I will tell you it's time to go back home. So we'll wrap things up here in the playground and go home, okay? And then after 3 minutes, go back and remind them, there are 2 minutes left, I will tell you when it's time to go. That's really different than, you know, you just standing, scrolling looking at your phone and then suddenly jumping on and telling them to go. It's time to go, bye-bye, let's go. No, let them know there are 5 or 10 more minutes. Remind them, give them the respect that they need and the preparation that they need. All right, so to recap this rather longish episode, and I know it's kind of condensed, so you may want to re-listen to this episode, especially the last part with the guidelines. Let's just say that if you want to be the kind of parent that I call the 21st century parent, the kind of parent who nurtures a positive and meaningful relationship with their children, but they also respect their own boundaries and they expect their children to do this or that sometimes, you need to realize the difference between requests, orders and instructions. And orders are basically telling your children, like you're their drill sergeant, to do this or to do that. All right. So sometimes we need to use those, especially in life hazard situations and when there are no negotiables around. Okay. And on the other hand, there are requests when you just suggest that they will do this or that and you let them choose completely. So you can let them choose if they want, I don't know, an apple juice or an orange juice. If you are okay with juices, for example, okay? But never use a request that you're not willing to comply on their choice, okay? So if you don't offer them water or juice if you want them to have water, okay? Don't give them that kind of a request. And an instruction is basically you asking them to do something, but not in an order kind of way, and you give them some wiggle room, but you do show them what you really expect them to do. And there are some ways to use instructions in a more positive and more efficient way. And I just went through them. And let's do a quick recap of them. But go back and listen to the episode if you want to really understand them better. So Don't give too much instructions. Only use them when you know you can actually enforce them and you can, you know, handle that. Respect your child. Talk with them. Talk to them and ask them and give them instructions in a respectful way. So use please. And that's a really, really important exercise that you can do right now. Try to notice how many times you use please when you ask him to do something. Use direct instructions and don't mask your instructions as a question. So instead of, can you please go brush your teeth? Say, please, I want you to go brush your teeth right now. Use clear instructions that tell them what to do and not telling them what not to do. So instead of don't eat with your hands, use eat with a knife and fork. And use short and focused instructions. Don't confuse your children. They are children and they can be distracted. Don't confuse them. Use conditions instead of threats. So if you don't finish your plate, you won't get any dessert. Works not so great as if you finish everything on your plate, you can choose the dessert you're having, for example. Okay? And give them choices as much as possible. Like, do you want to go home now or do you want to go home in 10 minutes? And use reminders and let them know what's going to happen because they don't have the sense of time that you do. So we have to be home by 6:30, which means that you're playing very nice, but in 15 minutes we have to go. So I will tell you when it's time to go and I will remind you 5 minutes before so you can choose some other thing to do before we wrap up and go back home. All right, so that was a really quick recap. And I know it's kind of condensed again, as I've said. So, you know, you can go to apparentlypen.com/58. There will be a transcription of this episode. You can read through everything. You can re-listen, do whatever you want to do, you need to do in order to absorb these things. And I encourage you to choose just one of those guidelines and practice with that in the following week. See what happens, okay? And then add up on to that, because don't expect yourself to become, you know, to go from 0 to 100 in a second. You're not a race car, all right? And with that, let's close up this episode. I really hope you got some value from that. If you found this helpful, please share it with your friends, all right? Send them an email, share it in your social media, share it in some group you're part of, and go just share the link to this episode, apparentlypen.com/58, wherever you can. And you know, as more parents get this message, there will be more parents who are on the journey to become 21st century parents, which I believe can make a better world. And if you're with me on that, let's do that. And if you haven't subscribed yet to this podcast, do so on whichever podcast platform you like, and that way you will get all the episodes as soon as they come out. I push out new episodes every Thursday. Now, I do want you to know that if you have any questions that you want me to answer in the podcast, you can go to apparentlyparent.com/podcast, and then you will find a button you can click on and fill up a form with questions to me, and I will happily answer your questions in the podcast. All right, so anything you want answered, just pop it in there and I will do my best to answer all of your questions in a specific episode of their own. And with that, let's close this episode for today. I will see you again next week. And until then, have a wonderful and meaningful parenting journey.